Welcome to Caroline's Cause Corner, highlighting a local social change maker, activist, or nonprofit leader.
Hi, Jason. Good morning.
Morning. Hi.
So guess who I have in today?
I cannot guess.
Susie Campbell and Norm, who are from the Ocean Awareness Challenge, second annual. And hi, Susie.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good
Norm. Good morning. Hello. Thanks for being on the show. So tell me all about the challenge and what's going on.
Well, this is our second annual Ocean Awareness Challenge event. The last two years, it was held in Emerald Bay on Catalina Island. And the whole concept of our event is to create awareness about the conditions of the ocean. And our mission is to educate adults as well as children about the conditions of the ocean and to introduce to people some of the top marine scientists that we have in our own community and throughout Southern California that can educate and inspire us to be world changers.
So, Susie, how did last year go? I mean, it was really amazing program that you had going on. How'd it go? And how are you doing
great.
It differently this time?
It was wonderful. I was so fortunate to be able to run it last year under the Women's Sailing Association of Orange County. My friend Valerie Rhodes was the Commodore then, and she gave me the opportunity. She wanted it to be successful, and so they let me run it under that organization just to see if it was going to be successful. And with a lot of work, we met once a month in my living room for a year straight. We planned our event, and it was very successful. We sent two classrooms from an underserved school in Los Angeles to the Marine Science Camp. And three of us actually sailed over there on my sailboat and spent 3 days with those kids at the camp. And none of them had ever been on a boat before. None of them had ever kayaked or snorkeled. And to be there with them, watching them learn about plastics and pollution, and, you know, they took an invertebrates class. They learned about the natural history of the island. They learned so much. One child said, you know, he saw a fish for the first time in his life. He said, "I've only seen fish in the movies. I finally saw a fish in the water. It was a big gold-orange fish, the Garibaldi." So
that's amazing. So, Norm, were you involved last year, or is this your first year with the project?
No, I was a participant in 2015 on our kind of trial conference at Catalina. And then the last year I was, my wife and I attended.
And so your background is in marine biology, even though you told me you're a biologist,
right?
Not specifically marine biology, but you have a knack for the marine part of it. Tell the listeners what's going on in the ocean right now.
Well, that is a really big question. I mean, that's
maybe as far as we'll whittle it down to just plastics.
Well, that's a big pile, literally. We look at the ocean here in Laguna, and it looks pristine, beautiful, mm-hmm. clean. But you think about the water bottles that everybody buys at every market you go to, because we drink a lot of water these days. We think that's good for us, and it is. But those plastic bottles. The plastic bottle I had to drink in the first day they came out, let's say I bought one 20 years ago, is still somewhere, not broken down. Or if it's broken down, it's broken down to little particles. And those little particles are being fed upon by creatures in the ocean that people can't see, plankton, for example. And so just with the plastic, it is a huge problem.
So I was at an event a couple weeks ago, the Surf Industry Manufacturers Association event at the ranch. And I was speaking to somebody, and he said, the only salt that you can ingest that doesn't have plastic in it is the pink Himalayan salt. Is that true?
I have no idea about that.
I mean, do you have any comment on that? Because I think that's a very interesting thing to say.
Well, I would imagine sea salt taken from any of the production industry around the world would have not only particulate matter, plastics, but also other chemicals in it. I don't know if there's a way they can even purify that. So everybody really don't know the exact.
So that's my point. I mean, to me, it makes sense. If you think about all the plastics in the ocean, which one of my biggest pet peeves that I've talked about on my show a million times is straws. Plastic straws, right?
Yeah.
You get a drink, plastic straw goes in there, and you throw it away, or whatever you do. And it's just people think it just goes into oblivion. So You know, what you're doing is amazing. So, Susie, tell us about your event.
Well, this year it's at the Festival of Arts. It's just been remodeled. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it's really beautiful. It's at the Stage and Green area. And it starts at about 2:30. People check in at about 2:30, and then we have three different marine biologists coming in to speak. We have Dr. Jeff Shester, who was with us last year, and everyone just loved him. So he's a campaign director for Oceana, and he's going to be talking about prey. The theme this year is marine parks, sharks, and prey. So he's talking about prey, and he's going to talk a little bit about the great success, the huge success that concluded this year for Oceana in protecting hundreds of unfished prey species off the entire West Coast. And he's also going to talk about the ongoing work to better manage forage species that are already being fished, like the small fish, the sardines, the anchovies, and the herring. So that's Dr. Jeff Shester. And then we have John O'Sullivan, who's actually a friend of ours. We both have a place in Bahia de Los Angeles, and John Sullivan is my neighbor, and he is the director of collections at the Monterey Aquarium. He's the guy that goes out and collects all these animals. He collects these sharks. But I just recently heard he's going to talk a little bit about how he collects these animals, but the sharks that he collects are sharks that have been caught in gill nets, so he's actually rescuing them, and those are the ones that he brings back to the aquarium. But he is a senior collector, and he's been collecting marine mammals and plants for the Monterey Aquarium for more than two decades. He's also the driving force of the tagging of the Mola sunfish in California, and he is the one that actually developed he helped develop the satellite tag insertion location on fish in 1999. So he's the founding member of the Mola tag team, and he's also the manager of the aquarium's White Shark Project, and they're conducting research all the time on sharks. So with all the sharks around lately, I thought that John O'Sullivan would be a great guy to come in and speak. And then we have Michael Sutton, and he's pretty much the guy that helped head up the whole network of marine protected areas along our coastline. He teaches marine law. He was the president of the California Fish and Game Commission. He was the instrumental person to create our nation's largest network of marine protected areas. So we're going to learn about the marine protected areas from him. So those are our three main presenters this year.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Jason, what do you got?
Now, that obviously, there are huge, not obviously to everybody, there are huge problems with overfishing and the wrong kinds of fishing. Mm-hmm. And all over the world this is going on. There's often stories in the news about this, but I cannot help but go back to this, what you just said before, and this thing of the first bottle of water. This fact is stunning to me. Just sort of went by very quickly. But the first bottle of water you bought, that bottle still exists. Now, if it was in a landfill somewhere, we can argue the rights and wrongs of landfill, whatever. How do they wind up in the ocean? We've all seen pictures of the huge island of plastic which exists out in our ocean. So even somebody as unevolved as myself can see that this is a problem. Now, first of all, how does that happen? And secondly, how is it possible that we haven't got legislation against this? How is it even possible? If you know the fact that the bottle of water that you drank 20 years ago when you first went, wow, bottled water, that's weird, because I did. I'm like, water comes out of a tap, right? But the bottle, you go, oh, bottled water, what are they going to do? Can air next? That was my feeling. But now it's the most natural thing in the world to grab a bottle of water. How does that wind up in the ocean, and why is there no legislation against this?
And I have one more question. Is the half-life in the ocean the same as a landfill?
I don't think the length of time it spends on the planet changes.
Okay.
But let's go to the landfill. So, yes, well, in Laguna, for example, or other cities that have recycling programs, Those plastic bottles should go in your recycling, go to the recycling plant, and get made into more plastic.
Right.
Not that that's good, but that's better than it being thrown away.
Well, it's killing fish or birds.
That's what should happen to
them. Right.
The ones that go in the landfill, which must be millions and millions and millions just in Orange County, let's say 90% of them stay in the landfill and stay in the soil. And even as they break down, it could affect the groundwater, but let's say it doesn't. Let's say that's not a problem.
At least it's safer than it being just slung in the sea.
So 10% of them, depending on the quality of the landfill, get carried away by the wind, or we have a El Nino deluge and the water carries bottles away and they get to the ocean. Yeah. When they get to the ocean, of course, Susie does a lot of boating as I do, and you see them floating all the time, not only here in California, but all over in the Sea of Cortez where we spend a lot of time. So those bottles eventually go up on a beach, get broken down by the sun into smaller pieces. The high tide comes up, washes those pieces in the ocean, and you have an accumulation of these tiny little plastic particles that anchovies and sardines and herring think are food. And turtles think they're jellyfish. And these things are, these plastic.
So you're saying that, I'm sorry, Carl, I don't mean to interrupt. I'm
it's okay, so I love it when you share my show with me, I do, so go for it.
So what you're saying, so basically that the no matter what you do with these bottles, a certain percentage is going to wind up in the ocean, and because of the vast quantity, that percentage is an enormous amount of plastic. So the answer is not to find new ways to get rid of these bottles. The answer is to find new ways to put... To transport
eradicate
water from one person to the next. I mean, I know people that carry around special bottles, they've got glass bottles, and they're careful because they don't want to be part of the problem. Is that, I guess that, I'm asking the right guy to know, yeah. But I guess that would be one way to help.
Totally. Our individual actions are probably the best. My household, for example, three of us, we don't use any plastic bottles. We only use canteens. That we reuse, of course, all the time.
Yeah.
Like and this. Can you hear this?
Like that. Mm-hmm. And you fill those from your reverse osmosis system, or you can go to the market and maybe have a 5-gallon filtered water system that you use at home to fill your bottles.
And in the end, it's going to be cheaper anyway.
Don't buy the plastic bottles. You just have to stop buying them. Mm. And it's what we're into at this age. It's easy as it can be.
Convenience.
I'll just buy plastic bottles and throw them away and buy another one. Right. It's easier than filling my canteen, but it's really not.
Right. Well, it's time there was some proper regulation.
All right.
Opinion.
Well, mm-hmm. Get on that. Start writing. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I'm sure there's like many people have been writing legislation against plastic bottles. I mean, that's a and there straws. There is, I mean, those are two things that are so simple to replace. And when I go to a place and I order a iced tea and they throw a straw in it, they don't even ask me, "Do you want a straw?" They just put it in there, and of course I'm like, "Here, have your straw back."
Well, there must be a vested interest. There must be some huge corporations, you know, that are vested interest. That's, you know, that are funding.
Well, it's something that happens like when people are just unconscious. Anyway, that's another subject of my show. So let's talk about your event one more time. How can people like get involved, and what can they do?
Well, we already have a lot of people involved in the actual event itself. There's a fifth grade teacher at Top of the World.
Who's that?
Terrell Campbell.
Yay.
She came to our event last year, and she was so inspired by all the presenters that on her way back on the ship, she was saying, "I'm going to go back to my classroom and teach my kids about this." And she shared a little bit about our event to her classroom, and they decided to start an ocean awareness club at Top of the World, and it was so successful. They had an ocean awareness family night, and there were probably a couple hundred people there. And anyhow, she developed some real ocean warriors, and two of them are coming to our event to give TED Talks.
No way.
Yeah.
That is totally cool.
Yep.
All right, so we're wrapping up here. Is there anything else you want the listeners to know?
Well, the McGilvery Freeman film... people are coming. Greg McGilvery to show his humpback whale movie.
Yeah, I was looking at your
That's
program.
That's pretty exciting.
Like, let's like just do really quick rundown of what the program is because it's really great.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Well, we have the three presenters that are coming. They'll be talking for 30 minutes. That's it. And then we're going to have a 15-minute discussion after they talk so everybody can have the opportunity to, you know, ask questions and things like that.
And then you're showing Greg's movie, right?
Yep, we'll be showing Greg's movie on an outdoor screen. We've got Annie McAlry coming. She's the CEO of the Mountain and Sea Adventure Camp, and that's where the kids will be going. That's where all the money that we raise is going, is to send these kids to that camp. We've got two fifth graders giving TED Talks. We've got a nice happy hour sponsored by Young's Market Company, and our dinner is catered by El Toro Bravo and Costa Mesa. And then Steve and Beth Wood, they wrote the soundtrack for the humpback whale movie, and they're going to be performing for us during the happy hour and dinner. So that's pretty special.
It sounds amazing. I mean, that's a really great program. So thank you both for being on the show. I really appreciate it, and I hope you have an extremely successful event. And if any of the listeners have any other wonderful people for me to interview, please let me know on my Facebook page, Caroline's Cause Corner Facebook page, and I will consider it and would love to hear from all of you. So until next time, Jason, thanks for chiming in. I always enjoy that.
Yeah, totally. Absolute pleasure. It's been really interesting. What's the website, by the way, FYI? And the website people can go to?
It's the oceanawarenesschallenge.org.
All right, there you go.
See, he's my brain sometimes.
And registration is open today. And if you register before the 5th, you get a 10% discount. And we are partnering with the Ocean Institute. So all of our attendees that morning can go to the Ocean Institute and go on a 2.5-hour whale watching tour.
Oh, no way. That's really cool.
Yeah,
okay.
That is cool.
Say the website again.
Okay, so it would be www.oacnumber2.org.
Perfect. And that's a really great deal because the Ocean Institute is really cool.
Yeah, they have a new president now, Dan Pingaro, and he's doing a fabulous job.
Excellent. Okay, well, thank you both. Norm, Susie, thanks very much. Thanks for all your hard work. I appreciate it. I know that the listeners and our community really appreciates your hard work.
Well, we really appreciate you helping us get the word out.
Oh, well, I try. So anyway, until next time, this is Caroline for Caroline's Cause Corner. Make it a giving day.
Hey, this is Alice Cooper for Caroline's Cause Corner. Support your local charities and get involved. Until next time, make it a giving day.